27. Shortly before my second interview with President Trump on the afternoon of Friday, December 13th, the House Judiciary Committee had voted to send two impeachment articles against the president to the full House of Representatives. Trump was charged with pressuring Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in the phone call to investigate former Vice President Joseph R. Biden and Biden's son while leveraging some $400 million in security assistance to Ukraine in its fight with Russia. The second article charged him with obstructing Congress's investigation by ordering administration officials to ignore subpoenas. The vote to impeach was 23-17 along strictly partisan lines. I wanted to see how Trump was handling impeachment. The president seemed unbothered, even cheery, and had time for a 1.5-hour interview in the Oval Office. He asked his photographer to take our picture. While we did, he explained he liked long neckties so the back could be tucked in the label. Don't you hate it when it flies? He took me on a tour of his hideaway office, the spot where President Clinton had secretly met with White House intern Monica Lewinsky. The Monica Room, Trump called it, and gave a knowing smirk. We returned to the Oval Office for the interview. "What's your relationship with Mitch McConnell?" I asked. "Very good," he said, but provided no details when I pressed. "You know what Mitch's biggest thing is in the whole world?" Trump asked. "His judges. He will absolutely ask me, please, let's get the judge approved instead of 10 ambassadors." Trump agreed judicial appointments were the right priority. "We don't need thousands of people going to the State Department. We've got thousands and thousands of people. It's so ridiculous. I don't want them." We turned to North Korea, which had recently threatened to send a Christmas gift to the United States, with a spokesman saying, "The dialogue touted by the U.S. is, in essence, nothing but a foolish trick." Of Kim, Trump said, he didn't respect Obama, didn't like him, thought he was an asshole. I asked why Trump had pivoted to meet with Kim after aiming harsh, warlike rhetoric at him for more than a year. "It's very complicated," Trump said. "I always ask the one question, why are we defending South Korea?" The United States had 30,000 troops stationed in South Korea. "We're losing a fortune. It's a rich country." I say, "So we're defending you. We're allowing you to exist." I was surprised that he would make such an extreme statement, that South Korea's very existence depended on the United States allowing it. "Why are we doing that?" Trump continued. "Why do we care? We're 8,500 miles away." Seoul, South Korea is about 5,100 miles from Seattle and 7,000 miles from the east coast of the United States. "Why do we care? Why do we have our 32,000 soldiers over there willing to fight for you?" The U.S. military leadership believed that stationing U.S. troops in South Korea had maintained the peace in Asia for decades, and the long and successful alliance with South Korea was a bargain. Trump said he asked the same question of Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. I ask Abe, he's a friend of mine, I say, "Why are we defending Japan? You're a rich country. Why are we defending you and you're paying us a tiny fraction of the cost?" The establishment hates that question, which shows you how stupid the establishment is. I tried to bring the conversation back to Kim Jong-un. "What happened at your first meeting with Kim in Singapore?" I asked. "You know, it was the most cameras. I think I've seen more cameras than any human being in history. There's like hundreds of them. It's free. I get it for free. It costs me nothing. It's called earned media, and you do earn it. They say I spent 25% what Hillary did, but I got $6 billion worth of earned media." It was actually 50% according to analysis firm MediaQuant. "Tell me, as best you can recall, what happened in Singapore?" "The Singapore event was a monster," Trump said. "They had a thing set up for the media the likes of which you have never seen. I've never seen a thing like it. Thousands. Thousands. Do we have any pictures of that?" "But I want to see what you think of this man," I said. trying to bring his focus away from the PR extravaganza to the substance of the meeting. An aide brought in a large 16-by-20-inch photo of Trump and Kim seated and smiling. Kim, Trump said, had pledged to work toward the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. He has a hard time with the word denuclearization. He signed an agreement. He promised me. But he has a real hard time. He backs up. He found a real estate metaphor for Kim's reluctance to give up nuclear weapons. It's really like, you know, somebody that's in love with a house and they just can't sell it. The Singapore meeting was crucial, Trump said. We really got along. It was a great chemistry. Trump had privately described meeting Kim this way. You meet a woman. In 1 second, you know whether or not it's all going to happen. It doesn't take you 10 minutes, and it doesn't take you 6 weeks. It's like, whoa. Okay, you know? It takes somewhat less than a second. Trump continued recounting. We then had a lunch. I've never seen anything like it. Every single person was sitting up. A general stood up to make a statement. He snapped to attention. There was no carpet. It was like a nice, beautiful wooden floor. His chair snapped back 20 feet, hit the wall behind him. I said, holy shit. And I joked. I said, I want you people to act like these people. You know, kidding to all my people. Kidding, but not kidding, I said. I tried to verify the story in my subsequent reporting, but couldn't find anyone who remembered it. Trump said he told Kim when it came to denuclearization, I know every one of your sites better than any of my people. He reminded me again of his late uncle, Dr. John Trump, a physicist who taught electrical engineering at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and was awarded the National Medal of Science in 1983. He was at MIT for 42 years or something. He was a great... So I understand that stuff. You know, genetically. Trump continued, the top person at MIT came to the office about a year ago. Brought me a whole package on Dr. John Trump. He said he was one of the greatest men. He was brilliant. I get that stuff. Did Kim Jong-un, if I may ask this, did he say anything that was threatening? Not even a little bit, no. Trump veered to a new subject. This was when he told me, I'm breaking China's ass on trade. China's gone to a negative GDP. Apparently, only one prominent economist, Xiang Sangzhou of Renmin University in China, agreed with this. Trump veered again, turning this time to Russia. We could do such great things with Russia, but because of the phony Russia investigation, started falsely and corruptly and illegally now, as it turns out, but because of that, you know, we're held back. And he knows that too. Putin said to me in a meeting, he said, it's a shame, because I know it's very hard for you to make a deal with us. I said, you're right. We ping-ponged between a few more subjects and landed on Afghanistan. Trump's generals had resisted his desire to withdraw U.S. troops from the 19-year war. So the first thing the generals tell you when you want to pull out, they say, sir, I'd rather fight them over there than fight them over here. And if you're sitting behind this beautiful desk, the Resolute desk, and you have four guys that look like they're right out of Hollywood saying, yes, sir, they'll do whatever you say. I say, what's your opinion, General? Sir, I'd rather fight them over there than fight them over here. I've had four generals say almost the exact same words. That's a hard line if you're sitting here and you have to make that decision, when you have guys that you respect making that statement. Trump continued. But then I say, well, does this mean we're going to be there for the next 100 years? At the end, he gave me the large poster-sized picture of himself with Kim. He asked one of his aides, do you have a round thing for this so he can take it? Or even a rubber band or something? Because you can't fold it. You'll ruin it. I don't even know why I'm giving it to you. That's my only one. As he had in our earlier interview, Trump told me, he never smiled before. I'm the only one he smiles with.